Hey everybody, welcome back to the Blade Runner Minute. Today's Minute 29. Starts with Roy and Leon questioning Chew, and it ends with a fantastic Roy Batty quote.
Oh, it's such a good quote.
I love the frost forming on Roy and Leon's clothes. You see it on the collars and the jackets.
But this starts with Roy making that oh-so-creepy smile. Rutger Hauer, such a creepy face in this movie. Jesus. I don't know about everywhere else, but in this
interesting
movie...
Interesting face. I wouldn't say creepy.
It's so it's so more than interesting. It really is creepy, and like, it makes you feel uneasy just looking at him. Even when he's smiling, it's like uncomfortable.
Hey, it really sets the tone. Because you're not sure what these things are. Why they're bothering Chew, or what they want.
Yeah, so in the last scene, right? So
and in the mystery of it all, Rutger Hauer's performance just creates a narrative for you. It builds a tone, it builds the scene. Just his eyes.
The way he moves his body, because Leon feels looser.
Yeah. Leon's the thought. Leon's the muscle.
And they're both quiet, but Leon is like... Leon, I don't know. There's something loose and thuggy about him.
Leon's introduction was pure destruction. Pure, I'm just going to kill you whenever I get uncomfortable. So we have this established character, Leon, that we're worried about behind this poor guy, Chew, that we're just introduced to. Just a hardworking guy on the laboratory, on Hoth. Just we don't know what he's going to do because we already seen him shoot somebody for asking him a couple of simple questions. And now we have Roy, who we haven't seen him yet, save for a few creepy looks and stares and questions, and I'm assuming that was his hand clenching up when he said
purple and
time
blue
enough
with his fingernails,
right?
All weird.
So he's just straight weird to us at this point of the movie.
But so Leon had stuck his hand in this liquid whatever cup of noodles that froze his hand, and Chew freaks out, and Roy smiles that creepy smile.
My eyes freezing.
Wait,
Chew says
yes. And then Leon rips open Chew's suit.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh. And poor Chew was shaking there. And he's like, no. Like, because he knows.
They want him.
Like, just the hoses off the back were bad enough. This is like, oh, I'm going to die. Like, he knows that death, the face of Roy Batty is death. Staring him in the eye. Eye, because he makes eyes.
In the eye. It's all about the eyes, right?
It's all about the eyes.
Roy gets into some questioning of Chew. He says, incept dates, morphology.
Longevity.
And what do you think he wants to know? When he was born?
He wants to know about those things in general.
How long he's going
to
last?
How do you change it?
Chew's putting it together.
And he goes, don't know stuff.
I don't know such stuff.
Just eyes. And then he looks at him and he goes, and he gets all happy. You see, he's happy for a second. Like, he's excited with it. He goes, you Nexus.
You Nexus.
I designed your eyes. He got so excited with the thought of seeing the thing he designed in an actual replicant.
Yeah.
And the fact that their eyes are designed as separate mechanical things lends weight to the, are they mechanical or are they biological?
Falls more on the
mechanical
side, mechanical to me.
Because they're building parts. It's like the cars that they build the parts all over the world, and then they assemble them in like Tennessee.
Well, they could build these body parts individually, and it wouldn't seem too robotic. That's okay. Why are you bringing that up again?
This is Blade Runner. We're always going to bring up the argument, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's just I think about
even if not physically.
I always assumed they were born in some way, like from like some kind of womb, artificial or not, like the pods in Matrix type of thing.
Okay, well, yeah, we see something similar to that.
And we do see it in a sequel later on, but at this point I also assumed that because I thought they were human.
They look like a boil-a-bag meal that,
Jeffrey Tambor.
That Jeffrey Tambor eats in the hot tub in the attic.
Yes.
In Arrested Development.
Turkey.
Oh, it's so hot. So Chew doesn't know such stuff, and
I just
makes eyes.
Just eyes. eyes.
Genetic design. He just makes eyes. And
is he genetically designing them, or he's physically building them? Like those people who build glass eyes, that they take little fibers and apply it to the whites of the eyes in just such a way so that they look
it.
Human.
He's doing it all.
Is there genetic coding involved in this? It doesn't look like it. It looks
he's
like
doing
he's
doing it all. Do you know why I know he's doing it all? Because they didn't have the budget. Ridley Scott didn't have the budget to create another guy.
No, but I'm just saying, like, no, do they need genetic components? Because he's clearly building something. I would just think they're mechanical.
I was just quoting Chu. I think he said genetic design. But I didn't look back at the minute before I'm completely unprepared.
I've had a very bad headache.
So based on the fact that that Leon put his hand in the freezy goo, the freezy freaky goo.
I think I like that. We're gonna go with the freezy freaky goo. Do you want to get my gloves?
They're unaffected by the cold.
Mm-hmm. Except you could see their clothes are clearly affected.
Right. And the questions that Roy is
morphology asking.
Chu knows that these are replicants, specifically Nexus.
Incepted.
He put it all together.
I don't think he knows from those questions that they were Nexus. I think he looked in his eyes and saw the hallmark of the Nexus.
Yeah, I think he's putting it all together. So I wrote down following the path of the replicants so far.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's interesting to me. It starts with Leon, infiltrates Tyrell, kills Holden, the first Blade Runner that we meet.
He didn't kill him.
Also establishes...
He didn't kill him.
I'm sorry, you're right. He just shot Holden.
Impaired.
Yeah, and slowed him down for the rest of the film. But that also establishes that our hero in the movie, Deckard, can be hurt and possibly die. It's great storytelling, great movie making when you start with the bad guy, show why he's bad, what he can do, and then you show the hero. It's classic filmmaking. You show Vader choking people and the stormtroopers killing people first, and then you show Luke, and then you know that in the end, these two forces are going to meet, and it's not going to be a Superman-type situation where he's unbeatable. This guy can be killed. So we're worried about Deckard immediately, because we know he's going to run into these lunatic robots that are going around hurting people really bad and pushing people around, and they're impervious to cold and pain.
So you talk about the path of the replicants, but we also know a couple of the replicants didn't make it, that we'll never... get to meet them.
Yeah, I didn't even want to get into that because the numbers change from version to version, so I didn't even want to get into it. But if people
but
want
in the
to
final
talk about
cut,
it,
doesn't he say like two got?
See, go ahead, finish it. Finish the thought. I don't know. They changed the numbers. They did some voiceover work to change how many numbers. He said, "Oh, three got fried, two got fried, four got fried." It was. They kept changing because then later on, Bryant tells Deckard, "You have X amount more to kill," and the number was off depending on which version you watch. So
okay, well, four.
I don't even know anymore. So Leon infiltrates Tyrell, shoots Holden, couldn't go back to the apartment because they were there.
There were men there.
The Blade Runners were there.
Police.
Now they're in Chu's lab asking about incept dates and morphology, longevity. They want to know when they were created.
Mm-hmm.
How long they have to live.
And they want to know how they were built. For morphology.
Yeah. They want to know
like
what
the
they
expressions
are.
Expressions of genes. Morphology
what they are,
is the expressions
yep.
of genes. Yeah.
And how long they have. So this is a little deeper than a movie about good guys and bad guys. This isn't a robbery. This isn't a vendetta. This is unique storytelling.
Based on that prologue, I didn't assume replicants were bad guys. Because, like, when you think of other countries, like, what is it, Mexico, if you try to escape from prison, it's not illegal to escape from prison. Like, if they find you, they will put you back in prison, but you won't get tried.
You're comparing their off-world duties, the replicants' off-world duties to prison? Why?
Exactly. Well, because they're slaves, right? They're clearly slaves. We established that. I doubt they're getting a wage or anything, because they don't really need anything for
Why would you, if you can create something, why would you create something that is in opposition to what you want it to do?
Because you want free thinkers because they work better. They can problem solve. Like, they'll go out, like, oh, go to Sector 17 because there was an issue over there. And you don't want to send the person there, so you send them and they can make a decision based on what's going on.
No, of course. I agree with
what
you're saying, but I don't think the Terrell Corporation built these replicants so that they'd be miserable for their entire life.
They don't care about that because to them they're not human. They don't need to feel anything.
The man that created Rachel doesn't care about his past creations?
No. That's why he created Rachel.
Come on.
I don't even think he cares about Rachel. He's just interested to see what would happen with his creation. It's not about I need something to care about or like something because these are machines and you can like your car.
And he says,
you don't physically love your car.
No, but this we've already established these aren't cars. These aren't toasters. They're
more than that, but they're less than us. No.
But he does say Rachel's an experiment, nothing more.
That's right.
So that's kind of
experiment cold. Is disposable.
Okay, you're right.
But in Mexico, if you try to escape from prison, you won't be tried for escaping from prison if you get caught. You're just going to have to go back to finish the rest of your term because they believe it is your right as a human to not want to be in captivity.
A lot of countries do that.
No, you would be surprised.
No, because you mentioned, it doesn't matter.
There's
you're right.
Not
I agree,
a lot,
I would agree with you.
Few.
But yeah, there are some countries.
Because it's your right. No one wants to be
in
prison.
Yeah, I wasn't arguing with you. I was
and
saying
if you
that's
could find
interesting...
your way out, like, good for you. But like in this country, you can be tried for trying to escape prison.
And in this world,
that's what they're doing. So I never saw them as bad guys necessarily because they were slaves. They were kept in captivity and if they're feeling things, then they should have of course they rebelled. Like, why wouldn't they? You know, didn't we throw tea into the harbor because we just didn't want to pay a couple of cents for some taxes? Like, that's they're in way worse situation. So yes, they rebelled. Rightfully so.
This is the point in the movie where if you didn't know it was Art House and you just saw Harrison Ford on the poster, you're squirming in your seat. You're not if you just thought you were coming to see Indiana Jones and Han Solo kick a little butt.
If you just thought you were going to see Last Action Hero and like a feel like
right.
a fun action
this
movie,
this is
not
the point where,
fun action.
Where Rutger Hauer is asking Chu about longevity, morphology, incept dates, and you realize that these characters that they're supposed to be, I'm just going to say the bad guys for simplification. They're not bad, even though one of them shot somebody when being questioned. They have a deeper purpose. They're on a quest.
To him, it's self-defense.
They're on a quest. They're after something. And if you're not into it, if you're not emotionally invested in something a little more complicated than an 80s American action flick, this minute is what makes or breaks. It's what separates the nerds from the dorks. And I love this minute. I love it. This used to be the point where when I first started watching this movie, this was the point where I started. I was like, all right, my bad guy isn't really a bad guy. My good guy is kind of a douche.
Well, then we get to one of the best lines I've ever heard in anything. That I now need to make an origami with this quote, and I have no idea what it would look like. Because this line is so good. Yeah, it ends on this minute. Chu says, I designed your eyes. And Roy says, if only you could see what I've seen with your eyes. Your eyes as the physical eyes that you put into my head, and your eyes as in you. You should have seen what I've seen. Like, it can be read in so many different ways. What do you think about that, Peter?
Chu, if only you could see what I've seen with your eyes.
Try to say it like he says it. In that methodical,
I can't. I've tried a couple times to say things like
could see
Rutger Hauer. There's only one Rutger Hauer.
There is only one. Do you think it's because English isn't his first language? Right? Isn't he from
Brooklyn? He's from Brooklyn.
No,
what do
he's
you mean?
Not.
He's from Brooklyn.
Not this Brooklyn.
We already discussed this.
I know, but do you think that's why he speaks that way?
Straight out of Brooklyn.
Do you think that's why he has that halting, or do you think he did it for this movie? I need to watch something else of his from the same year.
I think he's a professional actor, and he's really good at what he does. And I think he was really passionate about this project. He named his yacht the Blade Runner.
Yes.
Rutger Hauer did.
He says this is one of his favorite roles, right? I believe that I read that somewhere, that he says this is one of his all-time favorite roles.
Yeah. Yes.
It's pretty interesting, but that line... I wonder if it was scripted, because I couldn't find any information on it.
I was going to question that also, and I Do you hear my pen squeak? I'm sorry.
It's the sound of the sonic screwdriver.
I couldn't find anything about other improvised lines except for the one that everybody knows about. We'll talk about it at the end. Yeah.
Yeah. But this one, yeah, I don't know if this one was improvised or not.
Well, is it? Maybe it's in the book.
Maybe it's in the book. I know. I don't have time to read another book.
Don't worry about it.
This
is good enough. I read so many books. I never wanted this to be a carbon copy of all the other Minute podcasts. You know?
Not that they don't do a great job.
When I first started looking for a Lord of the Rings podcast and a Star Wars podcast, it was because I was working doubles. I was driving around town, working hard, away from the family, away from you. And I wanted to hear people having a conversation about Star Wars because I was alone and I wanted to talk about Star Wars.
And you would call me a lot and talk about Star Wars and I'm like, I can't talk to
or
you.
Or Lord of the Rings. So I found these great podcasts, the Lord of the Rings Minute and Star Wars Minute. And I like the concept. I wanted to just have a casual conversation with my wife, my friend, my best friend, my wife, about this movie that I love and I know you're interested in. I know you don't love it as much as I do, but I know you're interested in it.
There's a lot to think about in it.
So don't worry about how much detail, how much research we do.
You remind me of that, the radio host on Parks and Rec, the douche.
The douche!
Like, he's trying to have, like, a serious conversation and they make, like, weird noises in the background and just be like, because I could do it. And you're all going to listen anyway.
I love this scene. I love these minutes. I love how into it you are. You love you love Chew.
I do love Chew.
And we're going to get into him a little bit
First off, I love him.
James Hong?
Yes.
We haven't...
He has this face that he looks the same age in this as he does 10 years later, filming Wayne's World 2, and the same as he looks now when you look him up. Like,
looks great. Looks great. He's classic.
He's awesome.
He's a class act. Want to stick around? 30?
Yeah, we can do that.
All right. Love you.
Later.
For now, dear, au revoir, my bad.